This is Digital Story Podcast number 956, July 16th, 2024. Today's theme is how still photography once again tells the story. I'm Derek Story. Pro photographer Doug Mills was on stage just feet from Donald Trump when an assassin's bullet grazed the former president's ear. Mills, who has been covering the presidency since the days of Ronald Reagan, recorded a series of images that helped tell the story of that terrible day. This week, I'm thinking about the value of photojournalism as we try to understand these events. So before I read the essay, I just want to cover a couple of things. One of them is that my heart really goes out to the family of the attendee at the rally who was killed protecting his family while the gunshots were firing, to Donald Trump himself, who was attacked by the assassin, and then also the other people who were injured. This was just a terrible day that highlights the violence that we seem to be dealing with more and more these days, and that we're hoping, I think many of us are hoping, that the heat of this rhetoric cools off a bit and let us just get on with business and stop hurting each other. And then also I want to mention that I'm talking about Doug Mills, who was interviewed on The Daily. The episode is titled The Attempted Assassination of Donald Trump, July 15th, 2024. I have a link to that in the show notes because I pulled a couple quotes from that podcast for the essay. And then also I mentioned an Associated Press article titled In the World of Moving Pictures, Photographs Capture Indelible Moments in Trump Assassination Attempt. And I also have the link to that in the show notes. All right, let's get on to the essay itself. Doug Mills has been photographing presidential elections since the days of Ronald Reagan. On July 13th, 2024, he captured what may be the most important images of his career. On assignment for the New York Times, he was working just a few feet from Donald Trump when a series of shots were fired at the podium during a rally in Butler, Pennsylvania. Quote, I was focused on the president as he was making his remarks, Mills said while being interviewed by Sabrina Tavernisi for the Daily podcast. There was a huge flag, American flag, above him flying. I was trying to do something that showed him on the podium with him and the flag up there. And I was in the right moment as far as concentrating and being right there so I could see him. And then the former president was making remarks. He was gesturing toward his right. There were these three or four loud pops, and I just kept taking pictures, and it became a blur. I just kept my finger on the shutter. The results from that sequence will be an important part of the historical account from a deeply disturbing day in America. I, like many others, was watching television reports as the story unfolded. I've seen the video footage over a dozen times, but the images that truly helped me understand what happened were the photographs. The trail of a bullet passing by the former president's head, the blood streaming across his cheek, and his defiant fist pump as he rose above the huddle of Secret Service agents. Those are the images that bring me closest to the event. A still photograph records action in fractions of a second, allowing us to study those slices of time with incredible detail. I can see each person gathered on the podium and see their reactions, then observe how angry Donald Trump was while being lifted to his feet. All those individual details compose the complexity of the moment. As David Bowder wrote in a column for the Associated Press, video of the assassination attempt at a Pennsylvania rally filled television screens before it was even clear what had happened. Yet the work of the Associated Press' Evan Vucci, Getty's Anna Moneymaker, and Doug Mills of the New York Times, whose picture caught apparent evidence of a bullet whizzing by Trump's head, proved the enduring potency of still photography in a world driven by a flood of moving pictures. I know that many photographers feel the importance of their craft has been diminished. On social media, for example, video is king. Even Instagram, the once stronghold for still pictures, is transitioning to short-form movies. This has also affected our gear. For a mirrorless camera to be successful, it must capture 4K video, even though many of us never plan to use it for that purpose. Yet I find it interesting that just one image, skillfully composed, can tell a story that requires hundreds of video frames. Plus, a printed picture is device independent. You just hold it, and it can last for more than 100 years. As we will see in the coming weeks and months, photographs everywhere will remind us of the moments from July 13. And long after the November election is over, those same images will document the event that we wish had never happened. Professional, experienced photojournalists were doing their job by capturing those images. Their place, alongside writers and videographers, is vital in helping us understand the complicated moments that are forced upon us all too often these days. As Doug Mills said at the end of his interview with Sabrina Tavernise, "I hopefully captured what happened, and that's what my job is, to record history. And this is definitely one of those historical moments that sadly I was a part of. But I'm also grateful that I didn't flinch, and I didn't blink, and I wasn't shot. So I'm grateful for that." And we're grateful to you, Doug Mills, Evan Bucci, Anna Moneymaker, and the other photographers who did their job at a political rally in Butler, Pennsylvania. May we leave no stone unturned as we put together the complete picture of what happened on July 13th, 2024. The Art of Stills Photography on Movie Sets. And this is an article you can find on fstoppers.com, and I have a link to it in the show notes. This is another side of still photography, a much happier side, I might add, but I thought you might be interested in it because it is a facet of what we're discussing today. Stills photography on movie sets is a specialized and vital aspect of the filmmaking process. While the primary focus during film production is capturing moving images, stills photographers play a critical role in documenting the creation of a film and providing essential marketing material. Their role involves capturing high-quality images of the actors, key scenes, and behind-the-scenes moments during the filming process. These photographs are used for various purposes, including promotional materials such as posters, press kits, and social media content. They help build anticipation for the film and provide a visual narrative that complements the moving images. The art of stills photography on a movie set goes beyond promotional purposes as well. Stills photography serves as a historical record of the film's production. These images document the evolution of scenes, the interaction between cast and crew, and the unique atmosphere on set. They offer behind-the-scenes glimpse into the filmmaking process, providing fans and film historians with valuable insights. The video mentioned in this article uses Falling Down as an example of this type of photography from Christine M. Loss. Her resume is filled with iconic movies. We've all seen photos from Batman and Robin, Who Framed Roger Rabbit, and Raging Bull, to name a few. Of all genres of photography, in my opinion, working on a movie set to document filming, the actors and directors, and behind the scenes has to be a fun way to use your camera and make a few bucks while you're doing it. So when I read this article, it also made me think about something else. I had watched a movie a couple weeks ago called Scoring the Circle, the story of hypnosis. And it's about the two artists during the heyday of vinyl album covers, whose images all of us who listen to records know, you know, of everything from Dark Side of the Moon, Band on the Run. All these albums were designed by these two artists. And the movie is made by a photographer, directed by a photographer named Anton Corbin. His photographic eye is all over this movie. And you can really tell the way he composes the shots, the way the black and white just has that crunchy feel to it. All of it, you know, just has that wonderful feel. So photography itself, still photography itself, is complementary to the movie making process, but also can be a part of the creative image making of the movie itself. And this is just another example of the value of still photography. So anyway, I thought that you might be interested in this article that's on F-Stoppers, and there's a video that goes with it. Again, still photography, movie making, they just go together beautifully. Canon teases something big on July 17th. And you can find this article on DP Review. I'm going to read you a little bit about it right now. Canon USA has published a placeholder announcing a YouTube live broadcast on July 17th, 6 a.m. Eastern Time, 3 a.m. Pacific Time, 11 a.m. in the UK, and midday in mainland Europe for those of us outside of the U.S. I might not be getting up for this one, 3 a.m. Anyway, back to the article. Something big is coming is the only hint as to what it will be, which is enough to mean my brain will be singing Something's Coming from the West Side Story for me for the rest of the morning. The other thing it does is remind me that Canon said earlier this year that it was developing an EOS R1. Back in May, its timelines were vague, with the only detail being that it would be released in 2024, so we can't be 100% certain. All right, here's an aside. Really? I am going to go on record right now that it has something to do with the EOS R1, okay? I really don't feel like that's a stretch. But the company also said it was already working on a field test for this camera, and that is planned to support capturing definitive and impactful moments at international sporting events to be held in the future. What could that be? Oh, I'm guessing the Olympics, huh? What do you think? Another really wild shot in the dark there? And given that Euros and Copa America are over and the Tour de France has less than a week left in it, it's difficult not to look beyond international sporting events starting in Paris at the end of this month. No, it really isn't difficult. So I'm sorry, I didn't mean to be mocking that article. I shouldn't be doing that. However, I am pretty sure that early in the morning for those of us on the West Coast, on July 17th, Canon's going to be announcing the EOS R1. Many Canon shooters have been waiting a long time for this, and I'm sure are going to be very excited. The camera will be used at the Paris Olympics, I also predict, because that's when camera manufacturers like to do this. They like to do this for these really big sporting events. So anyway, it's going to be fun to see the details of the EOS R1, how much it's going to cost. I'm excited about it, only because I've been waiting so dang long to hear what this camera is finally going to be. They are also teasing, Canon, by the way, that they have some incredible lenses in the pipeline that they're working on. And maybe we'll get to hear a little bit about this. Now, wouldn't that be funny? It'd make me look really bad, too. Wouldn't that be funny if this big announcement was about those new lenses and not the EOS R1? I don't think so. I don't think that'll be the case. I think it'll be the R1. And then we might, if we're lucky, get to hear some about the lenses as well. Stay tuned. More to talk about on this for sure. All right, let's take care of a little virtual camera club news. I'm going to mention the Nimble Photographer newsletter only because I'll be able to talk about the R1, the alleged R1. I'm pretty sure it's going to be the R1 on Thursday's newsletter. That's the advantage. The announcements that happen after I record this podcast get covered in the Thursday newsletter. If indeed Canon does announce the R1, I'll be talking about it this Thursday. If you want to read about it, then all you have to do is subscribe for free. You can do that on any of the sites, the Digital Story or the Nimble Photographer. And you will get that newsletter in your inbox every Thursday with the latest things that are happening. I want to give a shout out to our Inner Circle members. These are the folks that support this podcast in so many ways, financially, spiritually, and I want to say funnily, but that's not a word. But they do make it a lot more fun. Their presence, their comments, their questions, their pictures, all of that on our Inner Circle space just bring a joy to photography that, I don't know, it keeps me pumped up, and I'm hoping that it keeps our other Inner Circle members pumped up as well. If you're interested in becoming an Inner Circle member, it's really easy. Just click on the Patreon tile that's on all the pages of the Digital Story. You can nose around there. Once you sign up, then I'll send you a link to the Inner Circle space, and you can hang out with the other kids. It's a lot of fun, and I think you'll find that'll keep your photographic enthusiasm going at a very high pitch. And finally, I want to give the biggest of shout outs to Red River Paper, longest running sponsor of the Digital Story. I just heard back today from Drew at Red River Paper, and he's going to be joining us for the first session of the upcoming inkjet printing workshop. I know a number of you signed up for that workshop, both independently and as part of our Inner Circle membership drive. Well, good news for you guys and gals, because Drew is going to be there on the very first day. He's going to do an open Q&A. So having an open Q&A with Drew Hendricks on inkjet printing is, well, I don't know. It's like having baseball chalk talk with Mickey Mantle or any number of expert things that you could possibly think of. That's the support that we get from Red River Paper. They're there for us. They are so enthusiastic about the world of printing and making images that they try to get behind everything that they can. And they also supply us with great paper, ink, and all the things that we need to make our projects look beautiful and to show our images in the best light possible. If you're interested in learning more about Red River Paper, just click on their tile. It's on all the pages of the Digital Story. It'll take you to our landing page. And then you can just nose around endlessly on their site because there's so much information there. And a big thanks to Red River Paper for supporting this podcast. All right, it's going to do it for me this week. I know the podcast's a little bit shorter this week, but I tell you, in light of current events, I think that's appropriate. I'll be back next week with more stories. Hope you come back and join me next Tuesday. Until then, have a safe week. Get out there, take your pictures, make a difference. See you next Tuesday. Bye-bye now.